Welcome to the audiobook for The Rise of You. Start feeling better about yourself today. Learn how to quickly boost your self-confidence. Part 1. Self-confidence. What is it? Have you ever seen the joy and delight at being alive in a baby's eyes and wondered how you lost that spark? When you see someone who seems very self-confident, do you wonder what that person has that you don't have? Have you ever put off doing something you really want to do? Writing a book, or asking an appealing person out until you feel better about yourself? Are you successful in some ways, but underneath still feel that you could be stronger and feel more confident? This book will reveal how you can find so much confidence inside yourself that you will be able to be the person you have always wanted to be and do the things you most want to do. You will learn what true self-confidence is and how to nurture yourself so that you stop the habits that sabotage you and start building the mindset that will grow your self-confidence. So, what is this thing we think of as self-confidence? Most people think it's based on the ability to do some things well. For instance, a salesperson might say, "I know I'm great at sales because I'm great at getting prospects' attention. I know how to close a deal, and I can make more sales than anyone else in my company." A woman might say, "I know I'm beautiful because I can get any man to ask me out." The problem with that thinking is that whenever you're not doing the thing you're good at, you don't feel confident. Nobody's good at everything. In fact, the most accomplished people are only good at a few things. When the salesperson isn't selling, or the beautiful woman isn't being asked out by a man, they don't feel confident. True self-confidence has to transcend what we do. Think about it. Have you ever accomplished something that took a lot of effort and made you feel proud, but you still felt less than confident about yourself in general? Maybe you got that college degree or bought the house you wanted, or you're making plenty of money, and there's a feeling of disappointment because it doesn't make you as happy or self-confident as you thought it would. In psychology, this feeling that we don't really deserve what we've earned is described as the imposter phenomenon. No matter how much you accomplish or acquire, it won't satisfy you unless you have self-confidence on the inside. So, what's missing? True self-confidence has nothing to do with what you've accomplished and everything to do with your belief that you have the ability to do anything you want to do. It comes from the inside. It comes from trusting yourself and committing to yourself that you will do whatever is necessary and most desirable in your life. Whatever you are faced with in life, you will face and deal with. You will take action. You know that because you have made a commitment to yourself. Self-confidence doesn't depend on the outcome of those actions, but on your rock-solid faith in yourself to take the actions. Basing your self-confidence on positive results is setting yourself up to fail. The universe, all the people whose good responses you are depending on, can't be dependent on to give you the results you want at all times. The irony is that the only one you can depend on to give you the results you want is you. You can count on yourself and your commitment to you. You will take action, and you will adjust that action as needed. That is the source of real self-confidence. Of course, every outcome won't be what you'd like. That's life, and that's all right. Your confidence is based on who you are, not what you did. No one and no adverse outcome can take that away from you. It makes sense, doesn't it? After all, so much of life is about doing new things and being put in new situations where we have no expertise. Isn't that what progress is all about? In addition, just because you did something well one time, does that mean you will do it well again? Maybe, but maybe not. What you do know is that you'll do everything necessary to do the best job you can. You're committed to taking action and following through, whatever it takes. You might go through many stages, changes, and challenges, but you will go through them to the end. It's a simple explanation for something as mysterious as true self-confidence. But it's the truth. Self-confidence comes from your commitment to yourself to take action and to follow through. Easy to understand, but not usually easy to do. The rest of this book tells you how to do it. Part 2. Self-confidence. Why we don't have it. What's your reaction when you're faced with doing something for the first time? If you're asked to give a talk on something you don't know much about, how do you feel? If you're faced with an unexpected bill you don't know how you'll pay, what's your first thought? If you're asked to do something new at your job, what's your reaction? Excitement about a new challenge? Fear that you won't be able to do it? Trust that you will do whatever it takes? You've probably heard about Thomas Edison's 1,000 failed attempts to invent the light bulb and how he said that wasn't failure since he had learned 1,000 ways not to invent the light bulb. That's exactly the attitude that separates winners from quitters. All of the winners, those who eventually succeed, trust themselves to keep on going in spite of challenges and mistakes. One of the secrets these winners share is that there are many failures on the road to success. We look at them after they've succeeded, and all we see is the final result, the success. We assume they have always been successful, and even that there's something special or miraculous about them that we don't have. We're waiting until we feel as confident as they seem before we begin. If there's one formula for failure, that is it. To do something, whatever the thing is that you want to do, you need to realize in advance that you're starting from a place of not knowing what you're doing and will make mistakes, probably lots of them. You may even be very bad at it. It's okay, really. You have to look bad before you look good. That's how it works. Ask yourself, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is doing only the things you know you can do well. Now, where's the fun in that? Are you procrastinating? Are you waiting to feel confident about doing something before starting? Sorry, but you will wait forever. Are you wanting to write a book but won't go near the computer? Wanting to start a business but won't leave the TV room? Are you waiting for the magic to happen that will take all the fear away and make you feel certain of success? The only magic is in not waiting for the magic and taking the first step in spite of the fear. In fact, the longer you wait, the less confident you will feel. The more you procrastinate, the more your fear will grow. Another sure way to sabotage your dreams is to put off feeling good about yourself until sometime in the future. Have you ever told yourself that you will have confidence? When you lose 15 pounds, when you have a girlfriend, when you're out of debt, when you finish school, and on and on. There's no problem with wanting to improve ourselves in any capacity. The problem is that it is conditional self-love, and this attitude makes you feel bad about yourself until you've accomplished that task. Even worse, what usually happens is that once you've achieved the first goal, you will probably come up with another one. Oh, okay, I lost the 15 pounds, but what I really need is a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Then I'll feel good about myself. Look at it this way. How would you feel about a boss who said, "I know I promised you a raise when you finished that project, but I need you to do this project now. Then I'll give you the raise." How about a boyfriend who said, "I know I said we'd get married this June, but we really need to wait until next June." You'd probably be furious and start looking for another boss and another boyfriend. Rightly so, too. Can you see that this is the way you're treating yourself, every day? What's happening is that you're foregoing so much joy in the present by punishing yourself in an attempt to achieve goals. In what ways are you sabotaging your own self-confidence? Here's a question you need to ask yourself. When do I feel really good about myself? Take your time with this. Find as many answers to that question as you can. You might be surprised at all the answers you come up with. Here's what you can do. Instead of telling yourself, "I'll like myself when," replace it with, "Right now, I really feel good about myself because." Do that daily. Every morning, come up with as many answers as you can. When you honor yourself for who you are right now, you build on your self-confidence. Part 3. Building self-confidence. There are so many ways we limit our self-confidence without even knowing it. The first step we need to take in building self-esteem is to be honest with ourselves in every area. Tony Robbins asks the question, "What would you do if you knew you could not fail?" Implied in that question are many more questions about all the ways you are limiting yourself in order to protect yourself from the possibility of failing. You do this by sidestepping the truth. For instance, how are you limiting your dreams? Are you avoiding people or situations that challenge you? Do you honestly assess your own true needs? Do you choose to do only things that don't challenge you? Do you tell yourself, "I don't care," when you really do? Do you say yes to everything that everyone asks of you? Are you always choosing smaller, safer dreams and actions because they are safer? When we achieve our smaller dreams at the expense of larger ones and tell ourselves that we're successful, we're lying to ourselves and cheating ourselves out of the life we could have. Normal, healthy fear is a good thing, but letting your fear rob you of your dreams is not. The fear exists because you're trying something new and stretching yourself. That's human and natural for just about everyone. It's not a sign of weakness. Letting the fear stop you from going forward is the mistake most people make. Acknowledging the fear and going forward anyway is the way dreams are achieved. Real self-confidence is not a lack of fear. It comes from trusting yourself in spite of your fear. See your dreams as bigger than your fears. Many children were raised in homes where they received a lot of criticism and not much praise. Parents thought they were creating well-behaved, humble children. A good thing, right? Well, not necessarily. One result of that treatment can be lack of confidence. There's a difference between having a big ego and self-confidence. Self-confidence means you believe in yourself. A big ego means that you have to prove you're better than everyone else. That's a huge distinction. We all know braggers, people who name drop or can't help slipping in information about their accomplishments or how much money they make. This is not a sign of self-confidence or superiority. It is an attempt to compensate for feelings of low self-esteem. When people have to broadcast how wonderful they are really telling you loudly and clearly how unconfident they feel. In fact, the bragging is an attempt to convince not just you, but also themselves. These are inauthentic people trying to compensate for their feelings of powerlessness. Now for the good news. Increasing your self-confidence will not give you a big ego. It will increase your integrity and strength along with your joy and self-love. You can start to increase your self-confidence as soon as you take the first step toward achieving one of your dreams, because you'll know that you're honoring your commitment to yourself. The more steps you take, the more self-confidence will grow because you are taking action. With each action you take, the more your fear will diminish and your confidence will grow. When you begin to trust in your own integrity, you will begin to connect with infinite personal power. In You Can Work Your Own Miracles, Napoleon Hill discusses the growth of his own self-confidence that occurred when, totally unprepared, he started working for Andrew Carnegie. He said that instead of revolting or shivering with fear, he started looking for the seed of an equivalent benefit that is always carried in every circumstance of adversity. We can all benefit from applying this tactic to our circumstances. Focusing on the benefits takes our focus off the fears we feel so we can more easily take action. Hill said that throughout his life, whether changes had been voluntary or involuntary, good or bad, he wasn't afraid. He knew that while he might not have control over the circumstances, he had control over his reaction to those circumstances. He believed that we are where we are and what we are because of our daily habits. He began to challenge his own thinking and actions and change them from ones that had led to failure to those of mastery. He has left us some of the greatest books on self-confidence ever written. Another type of dishonesty that sets us up for failure is saying yes to too many people and overextending ourselves. Your intention is to make them happy and gain their approval. The reality is that you spread yourself too thin and end up breaking some of your commitments or not delivering at the level you know you could. Your first agreement needs to be with yourself. When you overextend yourself and break the agreement, you pay the price of loss of self-esteem, loss of self-trust, loss of self-respect, confusion, exhaustion, and loss of others' trust. Remember, all of your agreements are with yourself. Take them seriously. Only make agreements you plan to keep. Write them down and renegotiate when necessary, even if you're afraid that some others might not like it. The great payoff in this is that you will begin to trust your own intuition, heart, and mind. This is the beginning of owning your life and true self-confidence. Part 4. Barriers to Your Progress. Have you ever wondered about how you might be benefiting by not being confident? Could there be a payoff that you don't recognize on a conscious level? Is there anything you might lose if you suddenly had great self-confidence? If these questions surprise you, answer this. Why is it so difficult for us as human beings to change unhealthy habits or negative states of mind and negative behavior? The answer is that we actually get many benefits that we don't acknowledge or are even aware of. If this weren't true, why do so many people stay in hurtful relationships, month after month, year after year, unable to break out? Here are some of the payoffs that keep them there. Sympathy and attention from friends, an excuse for not improving their own lives, an excuse for indulging in bad habits, an excuse for not looking at their own issues. The same is true for you if you are living with low self-confidence, all the time complaining about it. You could be receiving some of the benefits mentioned above, and possibly some of these. People will feel sorry for you. People will support you and try to help you. People will like you and see you as non-threatening since you are not complaining with them. You avoid failing at anything since you're probably not attempting anything in the first place. You get a pass on your bad behavior since everyone knows you don't feel good about yourself. Don't feel too bad, though. This is a big club that lots of us belong to without even recognizing it. This thinking allows us to avoid taking responsibility for all kinds of things. We can be lazy and live on a level that's inferior to the best we are capable of. We don't have to act or take risks, so we won't have to deal with the disappointment if those actions or risks don't work out as we'd like. It's safe, and it's easy. It's just not very fulfilling. Is this you? We all know people whose basic attitude is, poor me. Most of us have enough compassion and empathy to help these people, but the truth is that the whole scenario wears us out eventually. We become a little resentful and start looking for a way out. The poor me's want and need the attention, but they also know that it can end at any time. And while people are getting attention by displaying a lack of self-confidence and self-esteem, it's very difficult to choose to work toward achieving more self-confidence. Is this you? What payoffs are you getting for your lack of self-confidence? If you aren't a powerful, confident person, make a list of the payoffs you are getting. Frequently, people may be powerful in one area of life, but stuck in a mindset of low self-confidence in another area. Could that be you? Don't give yourself a pass or give up in other areas that you need work in. It isn't easy to recognize how you might be sabotaging your self-confidence with some of these payoffs. It's even harder to confront them and begin to change them. But the real truth is that the payoffs you get from living with these bad habits are an illusion. They won't actually satisfy you or ever give you self-confidence. Letting go of the old payoffs is the road to gaining the confidence that will satisfy you and give you a truly fulfilling life. Part 5. Achieving Authentic Self-Confidence. We all know what self-confidence is, why we don't have it, and the obstacles in the way of achieving it. So, what steps exactly can we take to become powerful, self-confident, and self-fulfilled with joyful lives we are proud of? Behavioral self-confidence. First, you need to believe in your own general competence, your ability to take action when needed. This is behavioral competence. For instance, if you want to start your own business, you have to believe that you will take the actions to achieve this goal. You will develop a business plan, learn whatever you need to learn to run the business, and accomplish all of the practical tasks involved in setting up the company. Second, you need to believe in your ability to follow through. Many people are good at coming up with ideas and even taking some steps toward the goal, but stop before the goal has been reached. Third, you need to believe in your ability to overcome obstacles. Some people move forward with a plan until they encounter problems. Where is your tolerance level for obstacles? Do you run as far and as fast as you can to avoid them? Or do you realize that this was to be expected and to get to work on them? Fourth, you need to believe in your ability to ask for help. Do you stubbornly insist on going at it alone? Or are you reasonable enough to ask for help when it's necessary? Responsibly asking for help is a sign of self-love and intelligence. If you have problems with procrastination or stagnation, making a detailed outline of the steps you want to take can keep you on track. Finding models that others are doing well and what you want to do could be of great value to you. Finally, making a list of people you can go to for help will strengthen your belief that you can and will go forward with your goals. This belief, in turn, will strengthen your behavioral self-confidence. The more you take action, the more your behavioral self-confidence will grow. Emotional self-confidence. Strong emotional self-confidence means that you believe in your ability to master your inner emotions. This involves several components. 1. You believe that you are able to identify what you are feeling when you are feeling it. Many of us have no insight into what we're truly feeling. Without clarity about what we're feeling, we can't have a good relationship with ourselves or a positive relationship with other people. 2. You believe that you are able to express your emotions appropriately to the appropriate people. Unexpressed emotions stagnate and create emotional blockages which can erupt, causing further problems. Emotional blockages prevent us from giving or receiving love. 3. You believe that you are able to connect with others in a loving, meaningful way. Connecting with other people is a pillar of self-confidence. If you can't function successfully at a social gathering or a business meeting, you can't feel confident about yourself. Connecting with others increases your emotional confidence as well as love and fulfillment in your life. 4. You believe in your ability to find love, understanding, and compassion in life, especially in difficult times. Life presents us all with many difficulties and emotional challenges. To have emotional self-confidence, we need to be able to process these obstacles and negative emotions and come back to an emotional state of stability and love. To do this, we must see all things as having a kernel of possibility, a bigger purpose, and a meaning beyond the difficulty itself. This belief prevents us from being victims and anchors us to something beyond ourselves. 5. You believe that what you have to offer is of value to other people. You are a unique human being, one of a kind, never to be repeated. Knowing who you are and what you have to offer brings true emotional self-confidence. With emotional self-confidence, you honor your own uniqueness and that of others. Pay attention to your feelings. Do you always recognize what they are? Are you able to process the negative ones and come back to a place of stability and a positive attitude? Can you express your honest feelings to others, or do you need to edit them? Are you frequently negative and judgmental? This can be the defense of people with low self-confidence. The more powerless people feel, the more judgmental they tend to be. Seek out opportunities to connect with others. Isolating yourself sabotages emotional self-confidence. Connecting with others allows you to work on all aspects of emotional self-confidence. This will make you more powerful in all your connections with people. Spiritual self-confidence. The third pillar of confidence is spiritual self-confidence. Spiritual does not mean religious, but denotes a relationship with the universe we live in. With it, 1, you believe that there is a universal energy flow toward good. When you look at the natural world, you see an ongoing forward flow in all things, cells, human beings, animals, vegetation. You believe that you are part of something larger than yourself. 2. You believe that there's an order in the universe and that it makes sense. This is important because if you believe that the world we live in is chaos with no order, there is little hope of spiritual self-confidence. But if you notice the extreme order of all things from the planets to the mechanics of creation, your spiritual self-confidence begins to grow. 3. You believe you are an expression of a greater force. God, spirit, the universe, whatever you choose to believe is responsible for the creation of the universe. This belief in yourself as a unique expression of whatever created everything in existence greatly increases your spiritual self-confidence and your overall self-confidence. If you have problems with spiritual self-confidence, you could spend some time thinking about how many challenges that seemed at first to be negative turned out to be positive. You could spend some time in nature and observe the order of all things. You could look for the everyday miracles that we are surrounded by that make you feel watched over and loved. Spiritual self-confidence allows you to believe that you are on the right road and that wherever you are is where you were meant to be. Part 6. 100 Get You Through Anything Self-Confidence Builders. It is truly astonishing that so many people from diverse walks of life and different centuries agree so significantly on the core definition of self-confidence. From Herodotus, a historian born in 484 BC, to prominent people today, these authors share their wisdom about self-confidence in their quotes. Enjoy them and remember them in the tough spots. It's possible, they just might get you through. 1. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. 2. Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. 3. As soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live. 4. It's so important to believe in yourself. Believe that you can do it, under any circumstances. Believe if you can believe, then you really will. That belief just keeps you searching for the answers, and then pretty soon you get it. 5. Search, and you will find that at the base and birth of every great business organization was an enthusiast, a man consumed with earnestness of purpose, with confidence in his powers, with faith in the worthwhileness of his endeavors. 6. My mind to me a kingdom is. 7. I've always seen myself as a winner, even as a kid. If I hadn't, I just might have gone down the drain a couple of times. I've got something inside of me, peasant-like and stubborn, and I'm in it till the end of the race. 8. It is as proper to have pride in oneself as it is ridiculous to show it to others. 9. As is our confidence, so is our capacity. 10. Calm self-confidence is as far from conceit as the desire to earn a decent living is remote from greed. 11. Only so far as a man believes strongly, mightily, can he act cheerfully or do anything worth doing. To have that sense of one's intrinsic worth which constitutes self-respect is potentially to have everything. 13. Experience tells you what to do. Confidence allows you to do it. 14. Confidence is that feeling by which the mind embarks on great and honorable courses with a sure hope and trust in itself. 15. If a man doesn't delight in himself and the force in him and feel that he and it are wonders, how is all life to become important to him? 16. Your success depends mainly upon what you think of yourself and whether you believe in yourself. 17. Never grow a wishbone, daughter, where your backbone ought to be. 18. They conquer who believe they can. 19. Immense power is acquired by assuring yourself in your secret reveries that you were born to control affairs. 20. Self-reverence, self-knowledge, self-control. These three alone lead to a sovereign power. 21. Faith in oneself is the best and safest course. 22. There's one blessing only, the source and cornerstone of beatitude, confidence in self. 23. Self-respect will keep a man from being abject when he is in the power of enemies, and will enable him to feel that he may be in the right when the world is against him. 24. Self-trust is the first secret of success. 25. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. 26. Once you get rid of the idea that you must please other people before you please yourself, and you begin to follow your own instincts, only then can you be successful. You become more satisfied, and when you are, other people tend to be satisfied by what you do. 27. There is overwhelming evidence that the higher the level of self-esteem, the more likely one will treat others with respect, kindness, and generosity. People who do not experience self-love have little or no capacity to love others. 28. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. 29. The way to develop self-confidence is to do the thing you fear and get a record of successful experiences behind you. 30. Class is an aura of confidence that is being sure without being cocky. Class has nothing to do with money. Class never runs scared. It is self-discipline and self-knowledge. It's the sure-footedness that comes with having proved you can meet life. 31. Confidence is directness and courage in meeting the facts of life. 32. Measure yourself by your best moments, not by your worst. We are too prone to judge ourselves by our moments of despondency and depression. 33. Glamour is assurance. It is a kind of knowing that you are all right in every way, mentally and physically, and in appearance, and that, whatever the occasion or the situation, you are equal to it. 34. Perhaps I am stronger than I think. 35. Nothing splendid has ever been achieved except by those who dared believe that something inside them was superior to circumstances. 36. I always thought I should be treated like a star. 37. Real adulthood is the result of two qualities, self-discipline and self-reliance. The process of developing them together in balance is called maturing. 38. He who would be well taken care of must take care of himself. 39. The future is not in the hands of fate, but in ours. 40. What pulls the strings is the force hidden within. There lies the real man. 41. He who is plenteously provided from within needs but little from without. 42. I'm not afraid of storms, for I'm learning how to sail my ship. 43. If you want a thing done, go, if not, send. 44. I have always regarded myself as the pillar of my life. 45. Do not rely completely on any other human being, however, dear. We meet all of life's greatest tests alone. 46. If it is to be, it is up to me. 47. You've got to do your own growing, no matter how tall your grandfather was. 48. The destiny of man is in his own soul. 49. Believe that with your feelings and your work, you are taking part in the greatest. The more strongly you cultivate this belief, the more will reality and the world go forth from it. 50. There are three types of baseball players: those who make it happen, those who watch it happen, and those who wonder what happened. 51. Only those means of security are good, are certain, are lasting, that depend on yourself and your own vigor. 52. There ain't nothing from the outside can lick any of us. 53. I've never met a person, I don't care what his condition, in whom I could not see possibilities. I don't care how much a man may consider himself a failure, I believe in him, for he can change the thing what is wrong with his life in any time he is prepared and ready to do it. Whenever he develops the desire, he can take away from his life the thing that is defeating him. The capacity for reformation and change lies within. 54. God, why do I storm heaven for answers that are already in my heart? Every grace I need has already been given me. O, lead me to the beyond within. 55. Knowing that we can be loved exactly as we are gives us all the best opportunity for growing into the healthiest people. 56. Man cannot remake himself without suffering, for he is both the marble and the sculptor. 57. It is what you are inside that matters. You, yourself, are your only real capital. 58. Man is not the creature of circumstances. Circumstances are the creature of man. We are free agents, and man is more powerful than matter. 59. Up to a point, a man's life is shaped by environment, heredity, and movements and changes in the world around him. Then there comes a time when it lies within his grasp to shape the clay of his life into the sort of thing he wishes to be. Everyone has it within his power to say, "This I am today, that I shall be tomorrow." 60. Every time I start a picture, I feel the same fear, the same self-doubts, and I have only one source on which I can draw, because it comes from within me. 61. It is our relationship to circumstances that determines their influence over us. The same wind that carries one vessel into port may blow another offshore. 62. There's only one corner of the universe you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self. 63. Parents can only give good advice or put them on the right paths, but the final forming of a person's character lies in their own hands. 64. A life of reaction is a life of slavery, intellectually and spiritually. One must fight for a life of action and not reaction. 65. I would not sit waiting for some value tomorrow, nor for something to happen. One could wait a lifetime. I would make something happen. 66. Circumstances are the rulers of the weak. They are but the instruments of the wise. 67. You have to take it as it happens, but you should try to make it happen the way you want to take it. 68. Life is raw material. We are artisans. We can sculpt our existence into something beautiful or debase it into ugliness. It is in our hands. 69. Change and growth take place when a person has risked himself and dares to become involved with experimenting with his own life. 70. People are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, they make them. 71. Things alter for the worse spontaneously, if they be not altered for the better, designedly. 72. We are taught you must blame your father, your sisters, your brothers, the school, the teachers. You can blame anyone, but never blame yourself. It's never your fault. But it's always your fault, because if you want to change, you're the one who has got to change. It's as simple as that. 73. How much time he gains who does not look to see what his neighbor says or does or thinks, but only at what he does himself to make it just and holy. 74. Be yourself and think for yourself, and while your conclusions may not be infallible, they will be nearer right than the conclusions forced upon you. 75. Though reading and conversation may furnish us with many ideas of men and things, our own meditation must form our judgment. 76. Each of us makes his own weather, determines the color of the skies and the emotional universe which he inhabits. 77. I am responsible for my own well-being, my own happiness. The choices and decisions I make regarding my life directly influence the quality of my days. 78. Learn to depend upon yourself by doing things in accordance with your own way of thinking. 79. When I have been unhappy, I have heard an opera, and it seemed the shrieking of winds. When I am happy, a sparrow's chirp is delicious to me. But it's not the chirp that makes me happy, but that I make it sweet. 80. Thinking is like loving and dying. Each of us must do it for himself. 81. Blame yourself if you have no branches or leaves. Don't accuse the sun of partiality. 82. Nothing can bring you peace but yourself. 83. It is not easy to find happiness in ourselves, and it is not possible to find it elsewhere. 84. No one gives you joy or sorrow. We gather the consequences of our own deeds. 85. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die, and the choices we make are ultimately our own responsibility. 86. Felicity, felicity, it is quaffed out of a golden cup. The flavor is with you alone, and you can make it as intoxicating as you please. 87. Some pursue happiness, others create it. 88. To be obliged to beg our daily happiness from others bespeaks a more lamentable poverty than that of him who begs his daily bread. 89. To know what you prefer, instead of humbly saying amen to what the world tells you, you ought to prefer, is to have kept your soul alive. 90. If, after all, men cannot always make history have a meaning, they can always act so that their own lives have one. 91. Happiness belongs to those who are sufficient unto themselves, for all external sources of happiness and pleasure are, by their very nature, highly uncertain, precarious, empirical, and subject to chance. 92. Under normal periods, any man's success hinges about 5% on what others do for him and 95% on what he does. 93. No man will succeed unless he is steady to face and overcome difficulties and prepared to assume responsibilities. 94. Destiny is not a matter of chance, it is a matter of choice. It is not a thing to be waited for, it is a thing to be achieved. 95. I am my own heaven and hell. 96. Every man is the architect of his own fortune. 97. A wise man will make more opportunities than he finds. 98. If people are suffering, then they must look within themselves. Happiness is not something ready-made can give you. It comes from your own actions. 99. Man is still responsible. His success lies not with the stars, but with himself. He must carry on the fight for self-correction and discipline. 100. To character and success, two things, contradictory as they may seem, must go together. Humble dependence and manly independence. Humble dependence on God and manly reliance on self. Part 7. 20 Affirmations to Increase Self-Confidence. 1. I give thanks for everything I am and everything I have. 2. Where I am right now is exactly where I need to be. 3. I have everything I need inside of me to achieve my dreams. 4. I am powerful beyond measure. 5. I will love myself and enjoy my life today. 6. I will manifest my true beauty and express my unique gifts. 7. I have infinite possibilities in this moment. 8. I am intelligent, wise, and loving. 9. I am constantly open to new ways and methods for my greatest good. 10. I am totally self-confident. I have no fears or regrets. 11. I am physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. 12. I am capable to deal with every area of my life. 13. I have the ability to produce the desires of my heart. 14. I am aware that everyone is a potential channel for good in my life. 15. I have limitless capacity to be. 16. I know what I need to know at the moment I need to know it. 17. My consciousness is filled with bliss and harmony. 18. My purpose is to give, to love, and to serve. 19. I am ready to receive the miracles that will come my way. 20. I conceive it, I believe it, I achieve it. Part 8. Exercises for Living Confidently. The Power of Asking Good Questions. So much of our self-confidence lies in our ability to manage our emotional state and our focus. Tony Robbins is a master at this. He shares his techniques in his series of books and MP3s. In Notes from a Friend, Robbins discusses the power of asking yourself good questions to put you into an empowered state. He tells a story of how he ran into a friend one day in New York. The friend was a prominent attorney who was upset because his business partner had just left the firm, taking many of the best clients with him. Robbins took the lawyer from a state of upset to a state where he was excited about the new possibilities this brought up for him. The man decided on the spot to move his office to Connecticut, which he had always wanted to do, and bring his son into the business with him. The lawyer was thrilled with these new prospects. All this came about through Tony Robbins asking a series of powerful, focused, state-changing questions. In Notes from a Friend, he reveals three sets of power questions. The first set, the problem-solving questions, is designed to improve your state when focusing on problems. Problem-solving questions. 1. What is great about this problem? 2. What is not perfect yet? 3. What am I willing to do to make it the way I want it? 4. What am I willing to no longer do in order to make it the way I want it? 5. How can I enjoy the process while I do what is necessary to make it the way I want it? Robbins gives us two more sets of questions: morning questions designed to make us feel good all day, and evening questions to end our days in a positive state. Morning questions. 1. What am I happy about in my life right now? What about that makes me happy? 2. What am I excited about in my life right now? What about that makes me excited? How does that make me feel? 3. What am I proud of in my life right now? What about that makes me proud? How does that make me feel? 4. What am I grateful for in my life right now? And what about that makes me grateful, and how does that make me feel? 5. What am I enjoying most in my life right now? And what about that do I enjoy? How does that make me feel? 6. What am I committed to in my life right now? What about that makes me committed? How does that make me feel? Who do I love? Who loves me? What about that makes me loving? How does that make me feel? And here are the evening questions. 1. What have I given today? In what ways have I been a giver today? 2. What did I learn today? And 3. How has today added to the quality of my life? How can I use today as an investment in my future? Questions and exercises to build self-confidence. Asking yourself focused, powerful questions or doing exercises can enhance your self-confidence as well. Each set of questions or exercises below focuses on an area where you may need some work. Choose the questions in areas you need to master. The Getting Clear exercise. Take a few minutes a day, maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and write down all of your thoughts, emotions, wishes, and problems. Don't think about it before writing, just write about what naturally comes up. Don't worry about grammar or punctuation or sentence structure, just write, and at the end of your writing time, keep the paper, tear it up, or throw it away. The point of the exercise is to bring up whatever is in your mind or just below the surface to clear all the obstacles and start fresh. The forgiveness exercise. Take a few quiet minutes and review your day. If there's anything you've judged yourself about, say to yourself, "I forgive myself for," and fill in the blank. Similarly, if there's something you've been judging another for, say to yourself, "I forgive," fill in the name, "for," fill in the blank. The act of forgiving yourself and others has a remarkable positive effect on your self-confidence. The relaxation and visualization exercise. Find a quiet place where you can relax. Close your eyes and visualize yourself happy with everything working out for you. Feel the feelings of succeeding. Visualization is a powerful tool for setting yourself up to succeed. Freedom from guilt questions. Answer these questions to find out how much guilt you have. 1. What do you judge about yourself? 2. What does that mean to you? 3. What is it that you think you should do? 4. Is there anything you can do about that? And 5. How can you resolve this in your own mind and heart? Freedom from resentment questions. Answer these questions to find out how much resentment you have. 1. What do you judge about others? 2. What do you tell yourself about them? 3. How should they behave differently? 4. Can you do anything to resolve the judgment inside of you? 5. Can you be more loving toward them? If you answer these questions honestly, it is possible to resolve some of your guilt and resentment and move on towards greater inner freedom. Trusting yourself exercise. Take some time to think about the agreements you have made with yourself and others. Often, it's easier to make them than keep them. When you break these agreements for whatever reason, your self-esteem and trust in yourself suffers. Make only agreements that you plan to keep. Write them down, honor them, and renegotiate them when necessary. Are you keeping and honoring your agreements? Exercises for defining what you want. It's hard to get what you haven't acknowledged you want. Not knowing what you want leaves a vague uneasiness and feeling of lack. Focus on what you want by asking these questions. 1. What do you want that you don't have? 2. Why don't you have it? 3. What is the fear that's holding you back? 4. What's the worst that can happen if you go for it? 5. What's the best that could happen? And 6. What's the next step you could take to move closer to what you want? The clearer you are about your goals, the more successful you will be, and the greater will be your self-confidence. In conclusion, there you have it, the mysteries of self-confidence explained. I hope they sound doable to you. You have explanations and definitions, quotations, exercises, and affirmations. Here's hoping you find powerful, self-confidence, and fulfilling life in which you achieve your cherished dreams. Thanks for listening.